They devoted themselves to the apostles, teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold their property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Acts 4, verse 32 to 35. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerful at work in them all that there was no needy person among them. From time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. That was great. And I love those two passages of scripture that just describe the early church, the way they were relating together as family together and caring for one another and looking after each other, like Sue was talking about before. And that's our theme this morning. We're carrying on what we started last week in relationships. So 2 weeks, 4 weeks ago, we started a new series on our relationship. And we did 2 weeks on our relationship with God. And then last week, we did the first of two on our relationship with each other. We're carrying on that today. And then after the Baptist Assembly next week, we're looking at our relationship with the world and making disciples and so on. So loving each other. And as we do this, I know that Sue said before she was a bit nervous. You don't think of that as Sue, do you, being nervous? She's a very confident person, but Sue was a bit nervous. I'm sure Mary was then. It's not easy coming on Zoom, and especially I think they'd be even more nervous if they saw themselves on big screen up here, wouldn't they? But I'm a bit nervous now. Not because necessarily I'm preaching, but I'm a bit nervous because of what I'm about to do next. We are family. I got all my sisters with me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We are family. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Got all my brothers with me. Oh, yeah, yeah. We are family. Oh, oh, oh. We are family. Get up, everybody, sing. Thank you. Thank you for joining in. Thank you for joining in with me. Remember the Sister Sledge song? We are family. It doesn't quite go like that, but anyway, that was my version of it. But Sister, I think started a bit high, actually. The Sister Sledge song, We Are Family. Actually, reading the lyrics of that and thinking that through, that is kind of what the early church was saying. We're in this together, you know. People look at us and they see something special. The lyrics talk about this. People look at us and say, can you really be so together? Can you really be so one and working together as one? You know, it's a witness to other people about being family. And that's what the church is meant to be as well. It's sad sometimes we fragment. We've got so many denominations in the world now, haven't we? You know, which is sometimes different expressions of doing things, or different ways of doing things. A lot of it has been born out of division, sadly, over the years as well. Disagreements over things and so on. But God's heart, when he prayed for the church, was that we would be one together, that we would be one, a body together. And that's what we want to reflect on this morning. Now, Sue's already said some of what I was going to say, so some of this will repeat, but I'm glad that we're on the same page with it. That's good. And looking at the same things. Matthew chapter 12, verse 49 and 50 says this. It talks about God's family, being God's family with and through Jesus. It's relational. And Jesus has just been approached. Some people have come to him and says, your mother and brothers are outside. And remember what Jesus says? He says, pointing to the disciples, Jesus said, here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. This is my family. Those who are believers in me, those who have believed in me and put the trust in me, come to me. We are in a little while going to be sharing the Lord's Supper together. We're going to be breaking bread and drinking wine or whatever drink you've got at home. We're going to be remembering Jesus' body and blood shed for us on the cross. And as we do that, we remember and we use the words of we are one body in Christ. We are one together. That's what that's about. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about us being one body and many parts. That's functional. So there's a relational aspect to being one body together. There's a functional aspect of this as well, as we function in different ways. I remember a lovely story about a little lad called Jamie Scott, and someone wrote about him. He said, whenever I'm disappointed with my spot in life, I stop and I think about little Jamie Scott. And Jamie was trying out for a part in the school play. And his mother told me that he'd set his heart on being in it, though she feared he wouldn't be chosen. On the day the parts were awarded, I went with her to collect him after school. Jamie rushed up to her, eyes shining with pride and excitement, and said, guess what, Mummy? And then he said these words that will remain a lesson to me. I've been chosen to clap and cheer. He had a part to play. He was excited about the part he had to play. It wasn't the part that perhaps his, you know, others been he'd been hoping maybe, or others would have thought he meant. But the way the teacher had done it was to say, look, everyone's got a part to play here in this. However small it may seem, it's important. And he took a hold of that with pride, and he was going to clap and cheer and do the job as well as he possibly could, because that was his role in this. That's being family together, and that's and affirming that, whatever that role or place may be. You know, I mean, actually, one of the things, this is an aside, it's not in any of my notes or anything, but it's an aside. One of the things that grates me a little bit is when I go into church buildings and I see plaques on walls or at the side of the wall to the great deacon who served the church for this 10-year term, or the great, you know, minister who was here for this long, or whatever else it is, people in leadership or whatever. And I just think, you know, that grates me a little, because I want to see, if we're going to do that, let's stick plaques on the wall for the lady who faithfully served tea and coffee for years, or the person who looked after the cleaning of the building, or the person who got the communion ready every Sunday morning, came down, or the bands who come here to rehearse early every morning. It's not just about the leaders or the ministers. We all have a part to play, and all are as important. Even those, and especially those perhaps, who just faithfully pray. That's family and working together. And the gospel is repent, and because of the body and blood of Jesus, be restored in relationship with him. And all that are adopted into God's family as children of God. So our main identity now is not black or white, or male or female, or British national or not British national, or even sexuality. These things are not our main identity. Our main identity, when we come into relationship with Christ, is as sons and daughters of God. That's our main identity. Galatians 3:26-29 says, in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ. anyone who has truly repented and given their life over to Christ and put him first and said, your will be done in my life and in this world. Anyone who has truly done that is part of God's family. And the main identity is as a child of him. Amen. Our main family is not mum and dad and 2.4 kids or single parent or widow or divorcee. That's not our identity as, that's not our main family. Our main family is we are part of God's family. So no one is on their own. Everybody is part of a family and we are brothers and sisters together. You're not bringing up the kids on your own because we're your family to help you with that. That's what it should be. You're not now having to be on your own forever because your husband or your wife has died. But we're your family. We're with you. And that's our main family. God's family. This family, which unlike the 2.4 family, lasts forever. Amen to that. Okay. Now, Sue pointed out similarities between a human family and a church family, quite rightly so. And she said, basically, we need to work at family because it's not always easy. Who knows that? It isn't always easy being in family. We have the little fallouts. Aaron told us about one last week he'd had with Hannah and his family. We all do at times. Sometimes that gets very strained and difficult. And we might need help outside of our family. Other times we can work it through. But it needs working at. And marriages need working at. And parenting needs working at. And being family needs working at. And let me ask you another question. Who here chose their parents? Can you put your hand up if you chose your parents? No, of course we didn't. We don't choose our parents, do we? No one does. We don't choose our mum or dad or our brother or sister. Our only choice is if we're going to have a child or adopt a child. That's our only choice. But God did choose us to be part of his family, and he loves us, and we need to learn to love him and his family. So we're now part of his family, and we don't choose our mum and dad. They decide to have us, and we don't choose who our brothers and sisters are. This is the point that Sue was making before. We don't choose who you're going to be, you know. You may look around this room, or you may look around our church and think, I wish they weren't part of my family. I bet some of you do sometimes. You wouldn't admit it. You wouldn't particularly want to be in the home group. We do get like that, because we're human. But the fact is, we are brothers and sisters. We are family. We don't pick each other. God picks us. He chose us. And we need to learn to get through that, and we need to learn to love each other through that. And I would love it if we came to a stage where everybody would be open and willing to have anybody come and join the home group. And anybody would be willing to be part of a group that whoever was in it, they can say, but these are my brothers and sisters. They may wind me up at times. You know, I may not gel with them in that same way. But I'm not choosing my best friend here. I'm just being family. And we need to work at that. The Bible helps teach us how to do this better in being family, in marriage, in raising children, in conflict disputes, etc. How can we be church family and express this better? To put it in the words of Boris Johnson and the Conservative Party, well, they did just get a majority, so we'll use the phrasing. How can we build back better after COVID as church in being family together? In caring for one another properly, in loving each other properly. How can we do that better? And do you know what? you know, you say answers on a postcard, please. But feed that back to us. Feed that back to us. Get in touch with me, get in touch with Sue Perrott, get in touch with Hillary, any of her team, Claire Bellworthy, Christian Bray, any of the people she was mentioning before, Jeff Elgar. You know, get in touch with us. Feed that back to us. Write to us here at the church if you're coming in from outside. How can we build back better in terms of the way that we care for one another pastorally, the way that we relate to one another in fellowship, the way we mix, the way we are family and look out for one another? How can we be better as family for single people? Single people, how can we love you better as a church and be your family? Widows, how can we make you feel more part of the family than we may presently do? Single parent families, family units with 2.4 kids, married couples, everyone, how can we do that and be better? We need to share ideas. We've got some ourselves. I've got some. The Sue and Hillary and others we've been talking about, we've got some. We were sharing about some of those things before. We're saying we're a big church, and so it's hard sometimes to feel all a part of family when it's such a big church. That is one of the problems with large church. But how can we do it? Is it impossible? I don't think it is. I think one of the keys, like Sue was talking about, was smaller groups. And perhaps developing that. Some people don't like to be part of home groups because they think, I don't want Bible study every week. It's all right on a Sunday. I have to listen to Phil on a Sunday, but I don't want to do it every week as well in the week. But that's okay. They don't have to be like that. If you enjoy Bible study, then join a group like that. Be part of a group like that. And if you just, like, one dose on a Sunday is enough and your own little time that you're reading is enough, and the outside of that, you just want the fellowship and the kind of family, then do that. Have a meal together. Go for walks together. Do something together. But care for each other. Pray for each other. Share together. That's being family. Play football together. Got Tim over there. You know, whatever it might be. Okay. Think about what you appreciate most from church family and what you would like most from church family. And talk to us. And let's see if we can build back better. It's not that it wasn't good before, and I'm sure some of you have memories of when it's been very good in the past. But let's now, it's about moving forward. It isn't about looking back now, is it? It's about moving forward. So share some ideas from the past, new ideas from the future. Anyway, let's move on. Sue talked about hugs. I was going to mention hugs. If I ask who likes hugs here, who's missing hugs at the moment? Oh, we got one hand up. We got a few hands up already. Who misses hugs and being able to hug? You know, I am a hugger. I am a hugger. When people come to my house, I want to say hi and give them a welcome and a hug as they arrive. And when I see people in church, I want to do that. As they're leaving, I like to give a hug, you know, as people are leaving. I miss it. It feels awkward for me. When people come around, it just go, hello, come in, sit down. It just feels awkward. You know, you can't even shake the hand. It's kind of really strange at the moment. But some like hugs, some don't. You know, I was thinking about this. Some people actually don't get any physical contact apart from if you shake the hand or you give them a hug or something like that. Because if you're living on your own and you don't have a relationship of like a boy-girlfriend relationship or whatever else, you might not have physical contact with people. And if you don't like it, that's fine. But if you would appreciate it, if you're used to it and now don't have it anymore or whatever else, it might be the only physical contact you have in the week. That can mean something to some people. Some of us can take that for granted. You know, I saw a video that came out on Facebook. I don't do Facebook myself, but Sandra's got Facebook and she showed me a little video. And I'm going to play it for you now. Let's put that on, Dan, if we can do. This is welcoming at church, school. They have a little chart on the wall. Can people hear me on Zoom, Dan? Yeah, they have a little chart on the wall. And as they come in, they tick which one they want. I want a fist bump, or I want a hand, or I want a hug, Hug is love is the heart there. Or I want to shake hands is the top one. And people choose what kind of welcome they want. There's a few of these on YouTube you can watch. So I'm thinking of getting one installed in the front doors of the church. What do you think? Jeff, do you think you can work with that? We get that in the front of the church. Get a board up there. Yeah, someone's just texted on the Zoom link. You've been missing something, Jeff. Yeah, from the do it, says Alison Holman. I'm watching the text coming up here on the Zoom links. So we pick on the door what we want. Great, isn't it? All right, we can stop that now. Thank you. Do you like that? It's good, isn't it? Because we're all different. We all like different things, you know. But that's something we might miss. It's interesting. Peter and Paul both talk about in the Bible, greet one another with a kiss. Jeff, do you fancy that one? On a Sunday morning, as people arrive, greet one another with a kiss. Well, of course, the kiss would have been the kiss on the cheek, one side, maybe the other side. In France, that's how they welcome people, isn't it? And greet people. In other parts of the country, the world rather, as well, many parts of the world, greet with a kiss. It talks about that in Romans, in 1 and 2 Corinthians, in Thessalonians, in Peter. So if you're a bit funny about the hug, what about the kiss? It's biblical. But these are ways of kind of welcoming and greeting. There's something there that's loving and caring, and that's a physical way of expressing that love and care for one another. Now, I'm not saying we have to do that to be it. We're British, and, you know, a handshake is all right, and some don't even want that. I thought about adding one to that list of four things there on the door, by the way. What about this one? Which means, no, I don't want anything, thank you. Not the handshake or anything. We're different, and of course it isn't all about that, but being family is important. Coffee after church, hey, many of us stay and have a coffee after church together. Many dash off straight away, and there's various reasons for that. There's timing on the car park when the minister's gone on too long, and you know you're going to get a fine if you don't get going quick. I get it. There are other reasons, but what about where we actually make an effort to stay around and chat to people? Like, because we're church family, if all we do is come to the church service and then go, then it's like it's over quick, isn't it? And we're not really getting to engage with other members of the church family. It might be the only contact you have in a service, and you're not really interacting as much. So I want to, you know, I think being family is encouraging us to try and interact a bit more, to try and, like, come a little bit earlier and talk to some people, or stay a little bit later and have a coffee at the end, if you can, and talk to people. And when we put on social events and fellowship events, to meet together with each other and fellowship in those times together as well. All different people coming together. These are important. The church weekend we were hoping to do a year ago didn't happen. Get this date in your diary for July 2022, 8th to the 10th of July. We'll put it in the notice sheet again, in the update. 8th to the 10th of July 22 is what we're aiming for our church weekend. A great opportunity to all be together and to get to know one another better and to fellowship. Home groups, small groups, we've talked about that. Building relationship there with regular small groups to share, to have fun, to pray. Hospitality. There's a book group in our church. It's been advertised. They're going to be looking at a book about hospitality. This is a new little group that's getting together. If you'd like to be part of it, learn how to do hospitality well and different aspects of it. And hospitality isn't just about, you know, getting a three-course meal together and making it really posh because you've got visitors coming round. Don't worry about it. Stick a pizza in the oven. It doesn't matter. Have a cup of coffee with somebody. It doesn't matter. The important thing is that we mix together and we fellowship together and get to know each other better. So invite someone around for a coffee, and not just the same person you've done before, but someone different. Now, I am aware that I'm talking about all this in the middle of lockdown. It's not great timing, is it? But as we want to build back better, and I'll stop using the conservative phrase now, but as we want to do that, these are things to consider. As we start to welcome people and we look forward to people coming back round to our house again or seeing people again, maybe doing that with some people we don't know as well. How do you get to do that on a Sunday morning when you see people here? Maybe go over to someone and say, hey, would you like to come to my house? I'd love to have you down for a coffee and get to know you better. I've been coming to the church here with you for years. I've seen you. I don't really know you that well. How about it? Now, they might say, no, don't worry about it. At least you've asked. Jesus used meal ministry a lot, and so did the community at the time. There's lots of it in the Gospels. He went to people's houses. He had people's over. He invited himself to people's houses. Try that. Remember when he went to Zacchaeus's? Hey, I'm coming to your house for a meal. No, don't try that. Okay. 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 8, Paul says, we loved you so much that we delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you'd become so dear to us. Wouldn't it be great to be able to say that and share that with Paul? Family members struggling with all kinds of issues, how will we know with just a hi on the door? Do we care what's going on in our family's life, with our brothers and sisters? And this isn't just the pastor's job or the pastoral team's responsibility. It really isn't. It's all of us as family together. Yes, we have a role to play in that. But it isn't just down to me or to Aaron as a youth and children's worker or to Sue and Hillary. It's down to us all to make this a reality together. Here's another little story. Author and lecturer Leo Buscaglia once talked about a contest he was asked to judge. The purpose of the contest was to find the most caring child. And the winner ended up being a four-year-old child, a four-year-old, whose next-door neighbour was an elderly gentleman who had recently lost his wife. Upon seeing the man cry, the little boy went into the old gentleman's yard, climbed onto his lap, and just sat there. And when his mother asked him what he said to the neighbour, the little boy just said, nothing. I just helped him cry. That's all it might need sometimes. It's being there for other people. Aaron opened up last week. He shared very openly about an issue in his life that was a problem, an anger issue. You remember that? I thought it was really brave of him to share that publicly. But I wish more people did. I wish we felt able, and I wish we did say to one another sometimes, you know, I really struggle with depression. I really struggle with an anger issue. I'm really struggling parenting. I'm not doing well in it. I think I'm not doing well in it. Or whatever other thing it might be. And as we share, someone else will say, as they would have done last week, I struggle with that too. Because you won't be the only one. I'm going through a situation in my marriage, and this is, I'm speaking as if someone else, not myself, okay? But I'm going in something through in my marriage where one of us has been involved in another relationship, and we are now struggling to keep this marriage together. Do you know what? I think we need to be honest with each other. Because what usually happens in situations like that is we don't tell anybody. We come to church and just still smile because we don't want other people to know, because they might think less of us. And the next thing we know, neither of them are here because they both left because there's been problems and no one was able to step in and really help them. But we're brothers and sisters together in Christ. We're meant to help each other through these difficult times as well. How can we do that if we don't really develop relationship in a meaningful way and friendships? And also be honest with each other. Someone's got to start. Some of us have got to start, like Aaron did last week, and then let that flow. So problems, marriage, parenting, loneliness, depression. But it's not just about problems, it's about sharing joys and friendship and praying for each other. Christianity was never meant to be done alone. It was meant to be done in relationship, in family. There's nothing of individualism in the Bible. It's about relationship with God, with each other. John 13:35 says, "By this everyone will know that you're my disciples." How? If you love one another. That's the witness. And the fruit is unity that's blessed, people with less needs, as in those passages in Acts, because people are sharing together as they have need. How do they know they have needs? Because they're sharing that with each other. Unity that's blessed, people with less needs, attractive to unbelievers because they look at it and go, this is special. What these guys have got is special. And it's a good witness and it brings joy to the community. The joy that Aaron was talking about two or three weeks ago. So we are family. Let's truly be family. If you're not sure you're part of family, the church family, you can be. This is how. God is your father. Just come to him as the father. And the way into that family is through adoption, through what Jesus has done for you. Believe in Jesus. Put your trust in him. Repent of the past and look to the future, walking with him. That's how you become part of this family, through Jesus. And we are going to, in a moment, take communion together to remember that, what he's done for us, making that possible, that we are one body together. If you have done that, and if you consider yourself now to be part of the family, then let's make it meaningful as we take the bread and drink the wine today, remembering what we're actually saying, that we're one together family, and let's start being that, or continue to be that, but even better than before. We're going to sing, before we do that, a song, "Oh, to See the Dawn," as we come into this time of communion.